Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist. What is something you think is overrated?
Something I think is overrated is the Bar the Griffin. I would say the Los Angeles Bar the Griffin is very overrated.
I was there on Saturday for a friend's birthday party.
Oh, yeah.
And I was sitting in like the nook that's towards the entrance with my back to the bar. And then suddenly I hear, you know, that sound of like shit going down at a bar because you hear the chairs go just like all the furniture moving.
Yeah.
And I turn around and I just see people rush each other. Then I'm like, wait, hold up. There's a lot of brawly dudes with like American shit on. Wait, there's some Fred Perry shirts. Wait, there's some MAGA hats. And I said, in a split second, I went from having my back to a bar and I go, oh, this shit became what looked like a Proud Boys meetup.
Yep.
And then as we're leaving, I see Josh Androsky over there, and I said, oh, you're going to be on the show Monday, huh? Well, this will be something to talk about. So, yeah, the Griffin.
Always creating content. That's what I like about you. You were like, got to have a scoop for the zeitgeist. So tell us what happened.
So I was texted by a friend who was like, yo, there's a giant Proud Boys meetup. And by giant Proud Boys, I mean by the number of Proud Boys and the girth of the Proud Boys. There were some corn fed hogs in that group. Real sweaty guys, the type of dudes that are never not moist, you know, and they met up at the Griffin. And so I got some folks from DSALA, which I'm a member of, Democratic Socialists of America, Los Angeles, and some folks from No Olympics, Los Angeles, and Defend Northeast, Los Angeles. And we were like, let's go, because as like socialists and activists, one of our main jobs is to make sure that Nazis don't have fun in our city. Mm-hmm. We're sort of like in that scene in Pulp Fiction where Marcellus Wallace is like, you've lost your Los Angeles privileges. That's us. We're the ones who say to the Nazis, you've lost your Los Angeles privileges.
Now, what about these guys? I mean, they just sound like they're proud to be boys. What are Proud Boys?
So you know how Nazis suck?
Uh-huh.
Now, imagine if Nazis didn't just suck, but were also super fucking annoying.
Right, okay.
So you add a layer of frat culture onto people who are yearning for a white ethno state, and you've got yourself a Proud Boy.
Right.
They are run by Gavin McInnes, the former creator of Vice.
Yeah.
So they're built on a pile of cocaine and underage models. And they do this a lot, where they'll go to a bar and try to harass and intimidate and provoke people into fighting. And then they, because the American conservative, especially the white male American conservative, has it all. You know what I mean? They have it all. The one thing they don't have is victimhood.
Right.
So they want that, because it's not enough to have power in all three branches of government. It's not enough to have white supremacy systemically, like allow you to have more opportunities than people of color. What they also need is everybody to like them. And so the fact that people don't think they're cool drives them fucking nuts.
Right.
So,
especially when you get jumped in, you know, when you go to the third degree,
you
got to recite your serials and get little tummy punches.
Yeah.
I mean,
We were watching. So these are a couple details about the Proud Boys.
Please.
In addition to them. So they say they're anti-racist. So how could they be bad? They're also anti-racial guilt. So those two things do not
coexist. They don't vibe.
But a couple things about them. They think that they get like superpowers from not masturbating.
Yep.
So they just like brag about how little they've come in the last like month.
And when you think about a bunch of angry young boys, the main thing that you want to think about is just fucking jerk off, dude. Just jerk off once.
Right.
Jerk off one fucking time, and then maybe, just maybe, all of that rage will come out of you in the form of life.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they also beat each other into the Proud Boy fraternity, much like the Bloods and Crips beat, you know, jump you in.
One big difference.
Yeah. So they give you little tummy punches. Miles mm-hmm. showed me a video of one of them, and yep. the guy is literally giggling as he's being beaten.
It's and I this is a phrase I feel like I wouldn't say. This is almost disrespectful to gang members.
it is disrespectful to gang members.
You know, I mean, like getting jumped in is. You get fucking stomped out. Like, the whole point is, like, can you endure this shit because you're down for the set or whatever? And this was, anyway, that suffice to say, this was not what I would call jumping in. It was some sort of physical contact.
It's more like bounce-housing in.
Yeah. Anyway, so cut to the Griffin. You're there because your whole thing is, you know, you want these people to know that society does not accept their presence,
right.
especially not in this city.
Right. And but mostly, so we didn't want there to be, like, a big, giant confrontation. What we wanted to do was to alert the bar. You know, like, hey, these aren't just guys that voted for Trump. The Proud Boys are identified by the Southern Poverty Law Center as a hate group, and rightfully so.
Right.
This is a neo-Nazi organization.
Well, Jason Kessler, who did the Unite the Right movement, he was a Proud Boy member, but then I think that Gavin McGinnis tried to disavow him and distance himself and the group as much as possible from that, even though there were many of
and
that.
There still are a bunch. You know, it is a hate group.
Right.
It is a white supremacist group, and I'm sorry if there are a couple Latinos or a couple Jews. Like, I'm a Jew. And there were Jewish Nazis, and there were black slave owners. And the reason why is power, safety. And I think also, you know, these are some weak-willed people who are not given any solutions by the liberal leadership, especially of Los Angeles, when our mayor is out campaigning in Las Vegas instead of watching over the city. And so when you're not given any, when liberalism fails you and you're not given any solution, and liberalism takes all its time fighting socialism, which offers practical solutions like free college, free healthcare, all that shit, then you're going to try to go for somebody that offers you a solution. And the solution is, oh, it's women. Oh, it's gay people. Oh, it's Jews. Oh, it's people of color. You know, it's trans people. And so for weak-willed people, this scapegoat gives them a reason to keep going because mm-hmm. there's no other solutions being offered to them. And so we went there in order to just sort of explain to the bar staff, these guys are Nazis. They wear a fucking uniform. And let me just make a quick distinction because there's a shit ton of the dumbest people in the world are tweeting at me right now. Saying, we're not Nazis. We're not from the 1940s in Germany.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, dude, I get it. You're not National Socialists from Germany, from the fucking Weimar Republic, baby. Like, you're not, okay, babe, you're not Himmler's fucking nephew, cha-cha.
Yeah.
But here in America, we have a handy term to call right-wing hate groups that practice fucking discrimination and violence, and it's Nazi.
Right.
The word works. And it's also super funny that these people are the ones that are like, what do I have to call a trans woman a woman? Why can't I call it him a him?
Right.
But don't call me a Nazi.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, yo, a trans woman was born a woman. Like, a trans woman biologically is a woman. And you chose to be a Nazi, and you're more precious about your identification.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's such fucking backward shit. So we go to the bar. We implore the bar staff multiple times. Like, yo, these guys are Nazis. These guys are racists. Literally, one of the bouncers goes, the only color I see is green.
Right.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And so
that's a Donald Trump Jr. line, so you know it's smart.
So fucking, like, you know, we're just trying super hard to make sure that the bar kicks these people out before something goes down. And sure enough, they ignore us multiple times. Multiple bar staff members told us that they alerted the management to this. Nothing happened. And I'm sitting with a group of maybe 7 or 8 people. There's about 20 Proud Boys. And I see them in circle, in sort of like a semicircle, a couple regular bar patrons, just normal folks who were there for a different birthday party. And that's when I'm like, okay, it's my job now to go in. I have experience dealing with fascists everywhere from like shitty LAPD officers to, you know, just your garden variety Nazi fuck. And so what I do as a Jew who reads white, who like I, in this moment, and I encourage anybody else who's listening to this to do this, use your privilege in this moment. I used my privilege to go over and distract them from the normal bar patrons who were getting, you know, very agitated, being harassed and circled by the Proud
Boys.
What
were they saying?
I didn't catch it all, but you can guess what they're saying.
Like, yeah, getting around them.
And, yeah, getting around them. And basically, I'm sure it had to do with the fact that they were flaunting their Make America Great Again hats and yelling about fucking, you know, whatever the fuck Proud Boys yell about, their white ethno-state dreams or whatever. And that's when I was like, well, let me be a distraction. I'm an idiot. So what I do is I'm a dick, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm an asshole.
Right.
But
we know this.
I'm a dick to people who deserve it. And so I just go out and I be a dick to Nazis. And so I was a dick. I was like, hey, take off that stupid fucking hat, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, shit like, oh, hey, when's the last time you come? You know, like, maybe if you came into the hat, like, it would grow an actual boy. Like,
now,
you know,
to be fair, that was the first question you asked me when you walked into the studio this morning. When's the last time you come?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, it's on my business card.
Josh Andreski, when's the last time you come?
Yeah. So I was just kind of fucking with them. And then before I know it, they've all now circled me.
Right.
And my girlfriend, Madison, fucking charges in and gets in between, because what she sees is there's another Proud Boy coming around them to kind of like rush me and sucker punch me. And she then, which by the way, great move when you've outnumbered somebody 20-1, is to hide behind your bigger friends, go around them and sucker punch the person that you're up against.
But they didn't know, no one punched you, right?
Well, so Madison puts her hand on one of that guy that was like gonna, you know, rush me. And then that guy fucking shoves her. Like two hand shoves her. And she's a very small woman.
Yeah.
You met her.
Yes, she's not... She's not a large American.
Yeah, no, she is a small woman. So they shove her like to the ground, and then I lose it.
Yeah.
And then one of them fucking takes a swing at me and knocks off my glasses.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he either tried to slap me or he was so drunk that he missed.
Right.
And then finally, after the woman had been shoved, the security stepped in and pulled me aside.
Right.
As though I was the one who started all of this.
Right.
When in reality, we had been at the bar for about 45 minutes trying to get the bar to kick out the Nazis.
Right.
Before something just like this happened.
Right.
And so at that point, you know, all hell broke loose. I may or may not have allegedly in the scrum grabbed one of the Proud Boys' MAGA hats and chucked it out into the street.
That's assault, brother.
I mean, allegedly I may or may not have done that.
Right.
After they shoved my girlfriend to the ground and knocked my glasses off my face. Oh, it's a guy with glasses.
Yeah.
Right.
You wouldn't hit a man with glasses.
Well, glasses are, as we know from the Khmer Rouge, are a sign that you are a dissident who, you know, can't be trusted.
Exactly.
Yeah.
At that point, then the bar staff is like yelling at me, and I'm
I noticed it once Madison got pushed over.
Right.
That's when
shit really went down. Yeah.
And I could tell, and it wasn't clear to me. It seemed like the bar staff was yelling. I don't know who they were yelling at. Like, it seemed like at times they were yelling at you or the other people. Seemed very...
So there were two dudes. One of them was like the manager, I assume, because everybody was like following his lead. He was like a big tatted up dude who was like visibly drunk. And like, I don't drink. I just go to bars to hang out with friends and make sure Nazis don't have fun. And so this drunk fucking asshole is like yelling at me. He's like, how am I supposed to know they're Nazis? And I was like, you could have Googled it when we told you 45 minutes ago before they shoved a woman.
Right.
They're wearing a uniform.
Right.
They're wearing their Nazi cosplay uniform. And then he's like, yeah, but man, I'm a liberal. I'm from San Francisco. Why am I defending them? And you see that in a video. And then I go, I don't know. Why are you defending them?
Right. My other favorite moment from the video footage of the night
was outside.
Yes, outside. They're like, the Proud Boys are still like yelling, threatening things.
Yeah, somehow the Irish were slaves. So
yeah,
okay,
the Irish were slaves. So what's your point? And one of the more, you know, angry and, you know, tough acting gentleman, his mom walks up behind him and is like, we are going.
It is time, honey. It is time to
get out of here.
So I have no confirmation that it's his mom.
But that
it's
was mom energy.
That was some real
that was
BME.
That was an Uber drive. Big mother energy.
Big mommy energy, dude.
It was definitely not Uber. Like, it's not like, fam, it's like, I'm just cancel your shit and go. Like, that's like, we have to go. I'm watching your kid.
Right.
And you got drunk.
Right.
We have to go.
I mean, no, yeah, exactly. It's like, I'm grandma, but I'm a real mom to your son, you know, like, and that plays into like the whole thing of like mommy taking them home, because they're all from fucking Orange County. They're right. all from Simi Valley, Orange County, like around then, because there's just not enough of them here.
Well, a lot of them outside were trying to puff their chests up, like, oh, I'm from East LA or whatever. Like, I was sure, hearing all kinds of shit like that. And I was like, I don't feel like
the that. One Mexican dude that was in the Proud Boys is, I guess, a pretty famous Proud Boy because he is Mexican and Gavin McInnes likes to, you know, show him off as his little toy. Mm-hmm. His name is Levi Romero. And there's a lovely video that surfaced after the incident of him. I guess somebody from the Orange County Gazette or some Orange County paper wrote about the Proud Boys. And he recorded a video of himself threatening to murder that guy and rape his wife.
Cool.
And so, you know, like, these are the people, right? Like,
yeah.
They say, oh, we're not Nazis. They say all this shit in order to try to engender some sort of sympathy. But in reality, that's who they really are.
Well, yeah, and then even after, I know some people were trying to go to Bigfoot up the street.
And they got kicked out!
And they were like, but they were also harassing, like, other people that I know, calling, you know, using, like, gay slurs and, like, for whatever reason, saying, like, this is Nigeria or some shit. It was, like, very
strange. They were not there to just, like, have a fun, convivial evening with themselves. They went out to, like, fuck shit up and harass people.
Right.
Like, that's what they do.
And I want to make a point. They try to hide behind the First Amendment a lot and say, like, oh, we have the right to peaceably assemble. There's no such thing as a peaceable assembly of Nazis. Like,
right.
Literally any action that's done to a Nazi. If I would have gone up and just sucker punch one of those Nazis, which I'd never do because I've got very Jewish bones. but if I would have gone up and sucker punched one of those Nazis, that would be self-defense because they're a Nazi.
Right.
Which is why it's okay to always punch Nazis.
There's a, yeah, I think there were, the response from the bar was like, well, we were trying to, you know, kill them with kindness and just serve them so they would leave. And that's how we've done things in the past or whatever. And, you know, a part of me is like, I, you know, they obviously fucked up in not handling the situation properly.
At all.
Yeah.
Handling it at all.
Yeah, it was a lot of chaos. And then, you know, it's a good reminder, though, too, especially because, like, living in cities like LA, very insulated from
right.
like that kind of overt, sort of like in your face kind of provocation. But it's out here, and you know.
Well, and here's the problem with trying to kill Nazis with kindness. What you're doing is you are allowing people inside your establishment to harass and intimidate oppressed minorities.
Right.
You are by being neutral, you are in effect siding with the Nazis.
Right.
You're not resisting that.
Yeah. You need to either resist the Nazis or get the fuck out of my city. Like
right.
That's why, like, I was like, I'm never going to the Griffin again, because, you know, their policy of trying to kill Nazis with kindness is the most backwards fucking bullshit thing in the world.
But that guy was from San Francisco. How could it be
crazy.
Backwards? I don't
get it. And like, later on, as you mentioned, the Bigfoot Lodge, I'm friends with one of the bartenders there, and she texted me, yeah, the Proud Boys tried to come in here, and we said no. It's that fucking easy.
Right.
You know, I have a friend who manages a bar in LA, and you can be proactive about this. First of all, if you're a bar owner in Los Angeles, you should be in touch enough with your community to know who the Proud Boys are, to know who, like, these groups of neo-Nazis are that are trying to hang out, especially because they've done it multiple times. And they also organize online because there's not enough of them in Los Angeles. They have to, like, reach out to Orange County, Simi Valley, and places like this. So my friend got tipped that they were trying to come to his bar that he manages, and he just sent them a message that was like, hey, if you come, you're not going to be let in. Like, we
right.
have the right to refuse service to anybody.
Right.
You're not going to be let in. And what happened? They didn't come in. And that's what the Griffin needed to do, is to be in touch, or at the very least, listen to the patrons who are pleading with them that these guys are Nazis.
Right.
And now their fucking response is like, oh, well, we're going to put up a sign that says no ableism. Like, fuck off.
Okay.
Like, yeah, they fucked up. You're given a choice in life, and oftentimes you don't know when this moment will be. And oftentimes this moment happens more than once, or it'll only happen once, where you decide, do I want to be against the forces of evil, or do I want to be complicit with the forces of evil? And clearly this guy, because he wanted to be neutral, or he wanted to fucking make money, which I think is what it was, just let Nazis fucking cavort in his bar.
Yeah. Well, I think it's hard, too. A lot of people, it's uncomfortable, too, because I think most people aren't used to being in a position where they have to confront something directly.
Right.
And a lot of people, you could tell, too, like, there was a lot of from looking at the other patrons in the bar, I saw a lot of shook people who were just sort of like, whoa, like, is this happening? Like, do I say something or whatever? Yeah. That's a lot of people, I think, and that's when the moment where a lot of people try and sort of logically argue away, oh, well, I'm not complicit because I'm just doing this or that. But yeah, it's
if you're in a position of power and you control a space and there are Nazis in your space, not kicking out hate groups is complicit.
Yeah.
And there's nothing else.
And that's why the Griffin is overrated.
Yep.
What's something that's underrated?
I think we got an underrated and a myth all tied up in there.
Yep.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. So the big story of the moment is that Trump met with Putin in Helsinki, and then they made remarks to the media that were pretty remarkable.
Treasonous?
Some people are calling them treasonous. The front page of the Drudge Report, as everybody else was like, oh, he just committed treason, I think. The front page of the Drudge Report was goal with a picture of Trump catching a soccer ball that Putin threw to him. So they were just like, nailed it. But not everybody is agreeing with them. And even Fox News is psyched about
that. I mean, the hottest take, one of the hot takes out of there was he was like, well, I believe Putin and not the intelligence apparatus in this United States in terms of describing if there was any meddling. What did he say? He's like, he was pretty strong with his defense of it, so I think I'm going to believe him on this one.
Yes.
It's like the third time I think he said, well, I asked him and I believe him. And yes,
he said he doesn't see why Russia would hack the election and that he wants to see the servers because he thinks the intelligence community is, well, first of all, he thinks he's better at diagnostic, like digital forensics than the intelligence community.
Which,
he's like, I gotta see these for myself.
As a man who eats 40 hamburgers every day, I think we can agree that Donald Trump's pretty good at computers.
Right. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
But yeah, he's just not buying it. And he's like, he denied it pretty strongly. And this has always been his thing, is that he trusts his gut. He trusts his personal relationships. It's why everybody who works for him are his kids and like family. And it's why he thinks that he can just, you know, be like, I looked into his eyes and we're cool.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Putin just big dicked him the whole way. He like showed up late, was like slouching during the meeting with like his
hell yeah,
like made his legs wider.
I've never seen a man spread like that. Like that was a fucking aggressive.
It was amazing. And like then, he had to do like groin stretches beforehand.
Yeah, to get his man spread
ready.
That wild. And Trump looked like he was about to see the principal.
Yeah,
he
Trump
was, like,
looked
all
nervous.
Upright and just with his hands like this. I think we're past the point of being like, what does he have on him? And just be like, yo, dude, he's not willing to hold Russia accountable for a fucking thing.
But who cares? Like my question about all of this is, who cares? Like, how does this materially affect your life?
I guess it doesn't. It will. Right. It will affect my life
when?
Down the road. I think if more and more elections are being meddled in and we get more of this right wing kind of Congress stepping in.
But the elections are being meddled by the right wing of the American political parties. Like they're like the main. So like the Russian hacking or whatever, it's arguable how many votes that changed. Right.
Sure, sure, sure.
Like if any, there's no proof yet that there was like legitimate. There's nobody's been like, look, 100,000 voting machines. They were
right, added this many
right?
votes.
Like
sure.
Nobody's done that yet. The right wing is kicking people off of voter rolls. They're creating voter ID laws. They're dismantling the Voting Rights Act.
Absolutely.
And to me, it's just like, I understand that this is hilarious. I understand that this is interesting, but like, the fact that this is on the front page of the news all the fucking time, Russia, 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 it's distracting us from what's actually going on in this country. And I just can't state how little I pay attention to it and how much it doesn't affect my life or anybody else's life. Trump will never get impeached as long as the Republicans are in power, right? The Republicans are going to be in power as long as the Democrats don't offer any solutions to poor Americans. And so we're just in this weird feedback loop where the Democrats are blaming Russia, the Republicans are blaming the Democrats, and all the people are just not voting because it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah,
they're not being let they're not being allowed to vote, or they just don't fucking care because their eyes glaze over when they hear fucking one of the Johns from Pod Save America go, oh yeah, well this guy Strzok is a household name now. And they're like, right. Who the fuck is Strzok? Like, no, but you ask anybody who works for minimum wage who Strzok is, and they're right. Like, is that a verb?
Like I struck out?
Yeah, right?
No, I understand. Of course, 100%, when you look at sort of what the direct threats are to American people, they're right. Not coming from Russia.
No.
But what is important, too, is especially in this upcoming midterms, if there is going to be any kind of fair shot at trying to vote some of these Republicans out to try and get candidates in, which there aren't that many that are fully, I think, on the same platform that I would be on.
Right.
But I think that is the existential threat for me.
But do you honestly think that Russians are meddling with voting, like ballot boxes?
I know that they are, based on what has been written, that they are trying to access as much of that infrastructure as possible.
Right. And so trying to access, right? Like, right.
Well, in certain cases did, because I know there are a lot of secretaries of states that, for whatever reason, months after, were like quietly alerted that like, hey, like hackers accessed your system.
Sure.
And blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
I mean, and that's part of just generally trying to assess weaknesses in a system.
Exactly. And to me, it's like, okay, well, we do it. Other countries do it. That's a given. People tried to fuck with our elections since day one. And I think a lot of it is in response to us fucking with their elections. But that's neither here nor there. Like, there's always going to be a threat of people other countries trying to get what's best for them. Out of America, right?
Right?
Like, so if we say that's a constant, which it is, you know, like Israel is getting America to do what Israel wants in so many more outrageous ways than Russia is. And yet nobody's talking about the fact that Israel is, you know, exterminating the Palestinians right now with our tax dollars.
Mm.
And like I would argue that Israel is a worse influence on America than Russia is, as far as like getting what they want out of Americans. But we talk about Russia because it's what the Democrats use to shift the blame off of their horrible strategy during the election.
Yeah.
And it just frustrates
me. Well, yeah, I don't buy the whole thing that Russia is to blame for all of this.
Right.
I'm more interested in like understanding and people being aware of the fact that there is this bizarre relationship with a country that is so anti-democratic, and now this country is now just sort of out in the open showing that, oh, we're joining this wave too. And I know that the U.S. has been anti-democratic from Jump Street.
Right.
What I'm saying is to then be like, yo, winking at Putin and shit, and like when you're like, oh, the homies are Xi Jinping and Putin and Duterte or whoever else, like that's when you're like, This is the direction that they're trying to move it into. And Putin
full kleptocracy.
And when also to know that this is a person who executes political opponents or journalists or whatever, that's where you're like, it's so unclear to the president, like how everything works, that's where I'm just, to me, it's the optics of it that are just disheartening. It's not to say, hey, Russia's the reason why wages have completely stagnated or whatever. That's not the case. But it's part of understanding the history of this country and like, oh, now we're seeing the pendulum swing the completely other way towards anti-democratic solutions. Yeah. And we're up there front page on like, we're part of that now.
So I have a question. I just thought of something. Is there something to this? What if Putin actually has nothing on Donald Trump, but Donald Trump just thinks Putin's really cool?
That's entirely possible.
That's also entirely possible.
Right?
Yeah, he's just jealous. I mean, he thinks all strongman leaders are cool, and he...
Duterte.
Yeah. And
well, that's why...
And these, like, the thing that he wants most in the world is to be able to execute journalists and to have his political opponents arrested.
Yeah, like, Vanity Fair.
That would make him so fucking happy.
Yeah, he wants
to see
Graydon Carter in, like, solitary.
Graydon Carter, you wore shorts to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Miami Beach.
Right.
And for that crime, you will be
life
executed.
Yeah. I will say, for people who are interested in finding out more about how Israel is... fucking with the Palestinians using U.S. tax dollars. Somebody who is talking about that is super producer Anna Hosnier on her podcast Ethnically Ambiguous almost weekly. So you guys should check that show out. I think the two interesting things about what we're seeing now is basically that there is, like, it started with them dropping the 12 indictments on Russian intelligence agents at the end of last week, because they knew he was about to meet with Putin and wanted to force his hand. And now there's just like an open antagonism between the president and the intelligence community. And I just think, I don't know, we've never seen that before. It'll be interesting to see what happens from here. And it's also forcing people on the right, I think, even to, and this is very early stages, and I think they, you know, in the aftermath of the Access Hollywood tape and shit like that, they were like, well, I can't support this guy. And then eventually, like, once people got over their outrage.
Yeah, once they ripped families apart, they're like, I like this dude.
I mean, do we have audio.
Or they got those tax cuts.
Yeah, exactly.
We have
this is like Neil Cavuto on Fox, who even, I guess this is the thing too. Like you say, Jack, there are optics things to consider, but this is the first time you see more and more like, there's like part of this old like Russia hawk conservatism where people are like, ugh,
right,
I'm down with everything, but like, yo, like,
but we're trying to paint these guys as communists.
Like, what's going on? So this is Cavuto on Trump's performance at the press conference.
That's what made it disgusting. That's what made his performance disgusting. I'm sorry, it's just the only way I feel. It's not a right or left thing to me, it's just wrong. A U.S. president on foreign soil talking to our biggest enemy or adversary or competitor, I don't know how we define them these days, is essentially letting the guy get away with this and not even, you know, offering a mild criticism. That sets us back a lot.
Why is Russia our biggest enemy?
In terms of just trying to become
like that guy just said, Neil Cavuto just was like, Russia's our biggest enemy. He said it like it was just a fact.
Democratic and
they're trying to destabilize, like, you know, they want to break up the Western alliance and become the real power broker on that continent.
I mean, do you think that
they invade other countries and, you know,
but like more so than like what the Saudis are doing to the Yemeni, what, you know, like horrible countries in, you know. Like, okay, so what the Saudis are doing, like, is, to me, I would say Saudi Arabia is America's biggest enemy based on the fact that they're going through, like, one of the biggest genocides right now, and we're, like, kind of helping them. And by kind of, I mean a lot, and by a lot, I mean Obama started it. But, like, to me, like, Russia just seems like, you know how, like, in the spy movie, there's the red herring who's, like, the really loud guy that's like, yes, you think that one's the villain, but then it was the quiet one that was inside the whole time.
Right.
You know, like, I feel like,
Well, the benefit is that the Saudis got in early enough that we're like, okay, so we like doing business with you. So then, like, I mean, that's the – I mean, obviously, the U.S. has so many problematic relationships with other countries.
Like, the Saudis, like, maybe did 9/11. You know what I mean? Like, if we're talking about, like, real enemies of America, like, it just seems so weird to just be like, well, obviously, Russia, number one enemy.
Right.
I think just in this instance, because – well, I think his quote's taken a little bit out of context, because what they're saying is he had the opportunity to speak to Putin and say, yo, what the fuck is going on? All the intelligence people were saying the GRU is behind all this massive sort of attempt to completely undermine the election, whether that was through hacking the DNC and disseminating that information or trying to get into Secretary of State's sort of voting systems and things like that, that was an opportunity as the leader of the country to say, yo, what's good about that? And it didn't happen. So like that, I think in this, I don't know if this guy generally views, I mean, it could be just for the sake of preserving, you know, America's appearance of like, well, let's not talk about that because Russia's the real enemy because it serves us to distract people from that too. But I think the thing was coming off of what he was talking about was the idea of like, yo, this, you're the president. You don't even have anything to say to this guy. Like, and that's what's just sort of eerie is that you're, you know, as the leader, you're just letting all this shit happen and you're just kind of like,
What do you think he did say to Putin?
They had a two-hour meeting. It was, I don't know.
So is Natasha and Boris coming? I want to meet that moose. The moose. I love mooses. I have a fabulous moose at Mar-a-Lago. It's a chocolate moose. it's great. Natasha Badenoff. Natasha, take your bra off, if you know what I mean. It's just locker room talk.
It could be like Putin being like, yo, like, now we know how to fuck with those like voter systems or whatever. I mean, also too, when you see,
are you sure? He's like, do you know how to do cocaine on jet ski? Like, yeah. I feel like that's
it
what
could
he
be.
Would
yeah,
say.
Or it's like he's like, I want to talk about Syria, and then Trump's like, look, I don't care, care. Show my friend your watch.
Syria, Hiria, Varia. Who cares?
That's an $80,000 watch. Have you seen that?
I mean, Putin does his research on people, like, to the extent...
Well, he's
like,
a KGB spy.
Right, right. He knows what your upbringing was, what your psychological, like, weaknesses and strengths are going into a meeting. So, like, I'm sure nothing caught him off guard. Like, if Trump wanted to talk about watches, I'm sure he knew that before Trump knew that.
But, I don't know.
Or Putin had set the agenda, and Trump was just there to go, uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh.
Or Trump was just, like, I could only imagine, like, you know, we've set up Putin to be this, like, mastermind, even though he's also going through dementia like Trump is. Like, there's, like, it's kind of proven that, like, both of their brains are dying.
Uh-huh.
But I'd love to imagine, like, the hypothetical mastermind who's, like, practiced everything on Trump. And then he's like, okay, I know he's going to talk like this. I know he's going to say this. I know he's going to say this. And then all he talks about is, like, Tracy Bingham from Baywatch.
Yeah.
He's like, so ever since I've been in Russia, I've noticed there's a lot of sevens here. Yeah. You know, there's more sixes in D.C., let me tell you. There's only sevens and eights here. Right. I haven't seen a single ten.
Right.
That's, like, what he would fucking say.
All right. So let's talk about the latest trend that is apparently not the latest trend.
No,
but
not,
something
definitely
that's
not
been
a trend.
Happening forever. But I think we reached a new level, at least as I'm aware of, in white people calling the police on people of color. We have a guy in a LA Fitness in Virginia who got screened in a pickup basketball game, fell to the ground, like, in dramatic World Cup player fashion, like he had just stepped on a mine, and then immediately walked to the front desk, said he was calling the police and did call the police, and then just waited patiently for the police to come, and then said, I got screened hard and I want you to do something.
So tell me, the
it.
Cops come and go, okay, sir, you're the one who was calling for us? He's
right.
Like, yes. And he'll say, the police officer say, okay, so what happened?
Yes.
And what do you think he said to the police officer?
He assaulted me, I think,
and
is
so
probably
what happened?
How he put it.
And then the guy's like, which one? He's like, well, this black guy.
Right.
And then what happened? He's like, bro, I just put a pick on him. You know what I mean?
Right.
And he ran into it because that is basketball.
Why would a human being call the cops on this?
No, it's staggering.
Wait, did he say, like, he threw an elbow and, like, broke my chest? I have Marfan syndrome. I have a weak chest wall, like, putting me at risk. Like, how do we take this beyond, like, logically that it was anything more than you're in your feelings because you probably ran into the screen.
But wouldn't first step be, maybe you complain to management, hey,
right,
that guy's playing a little too rough on the court?
Right.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I got to call the authorities
That's my question is, are they seeing these videos going viral and thinking that we're proud of, like, the white people who are calling the cops? They're like, see, we can apparently call the cops on this. This is,
no, because
they're the heroes of this
narrative.
You don't
see Drudge being like, brave man of Virginia,
right,
Jim ends the scourge of blindside picks. Like, that's not what it is. It's just we live in an era now where people have access to video cameras on their cell phones. They can document things and spread that information much quicker because of social media, that it just be more apparent. I think it's
so. This was happening all along.
I mean, there is no shortage of people from my dad as a child to me, even in my teen years, of having experiences with police that were unnecessary because people being at a park see you through a window and they're like, there's people of color at the park at night.
Right.
And then they pull up and they're like, what's going on? And you're like, we're playing basketball. And they're like, all right, well, someone called the cops and they thought you were doing something. And that's nothing new. So
right.
I think now it's just people are, for whatever, getting even more bold. So they're willing to be. I mean, because really what they're doing is they're treating, the police as customer service for their waning white privilege.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're like, excuse me, I would like to, the only people that can sort this out is the police because you have the guns.
Right.
And you can put your foot down on this. And then most of the time when they come up, it's incident free, and other times it can be fucking fatal.
Right.
So to me, it's like, it's nothing new. We're just seeing it more and it's being documented more. And I think there could be maybe a slight uptick, but this is not a new experience for, like getting pulled over because you're black. And maybe there's this new element of now, we're seeing people just calling the police for any old reason. Like even in Canada now, I read a story about a black family getting the police called on them because they were at the pool. Or a Muslim family because they were wearing cotton at the pool. I'm still not sure what exactly their grievance was with that, aside from probably the kids. I think one of the kids may have had hijab on or something like that.
Right.
So it ain't nothing new.
Right.
What was the fallout here? What did the police do when they arrived?
The police showed up. The athlete who, like, screened him was asked to step outside of the gym, and the cop talked to them. And this is the photograph you see of it, where the cop is standing between them, and it's like a preschool, rivalry where the teacher is just talking to them, telling them how you handle your feelings. And the guy who called the cops is standing on the other side of the cop with his arms crossed, like, haha, now I got you, man.
Yeah.
And everybody was just
like, this is bullshit.
Blown away. Yeah.
I mean, anyone who grows up playing pickup basketball, you know there's always like that friend who everything is a foul.
Right.
And you're like, oh, that's a foul. That's a foul. You reached in, that's a foul. I mean, you blocked me. That's a foul because it's my ego that you fouled.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know what happened to this guy that he didn't get the you know, the constant foul calling shamed out of him by playing basketball enough.
As a 5'4½ man, I would spend a lot of time on the bench at the pickoff basketball games. Should I have called the authorities?
Yes, is that something you I should have done? I have not been picked.
I haven't been picked. I think it's racism.
Yeah. They're like, these guys are all white, too.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know.
I don't know, officer. I just thought I should blow in a call
to an ancestry test. No, we should look deeper.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, I mean, at some point, I think obviously the conversation now is shifting towards what is the proper protocol for police officers to handle these kind of situations when they're unnecessarily brought in to intervene on behalf of people who are just have some kind of implicit bias. Because, like, you know, there are people who I remember there was a story about the group of black women playing golf and the owner of the country club called the police because they were playing too slow.
Yes. Right. Insanity.
You know what I mean? And that's when the police have to be like, I'm sorry, this is not a priority for us as police. Like, we're here to stop, like, real crime. And if I'm out here trying to mediate you because you don't like the speed at which these women are playing golf and something happens and I'm here, then we have problems. But I don't know if, like, because, you know, 911 can't be, I'm sorry, that's not heavy enough.
Right. Right.
That just because then you get into a slippery slope of like being
well, because then what if something does happen?
Like, exactly.
What if all of a sudden there's violence? And that 911 person said,
right. And I think that's where maybe the police have to begin having to mediate these in a way that they're like, so let me tell you how I'm seeing this as law enforcement. You have no standing. You look like this feels like harassment to me,
right?
Or whatever. And I don't know how they're going to begin.
There should be some like official form of harassment or something, like a fine at the very least, to like when you waste the police's time.
Well, you know what? When my alarm goes off at my
house,
I'm sorry I interrupted you, but I was just adding to what you said. When my alarm accidentally goes off and they can't contact my wife or I, the cops show up and it's like, oh, nothing happened here. I get $150 fine.
Yeah. Right.
So that should happen here. If you're wasting time on the 14th green saying those ladies are too slow, let's go.
Yeah.
Pay a pill.
The other thing is, I mean, because there are laws about like calling 911 falsely or whatever, or like unnecessarily, but those are rarely enforced. I mean, I think the permit thing is because the alarm thing is because that they think they're responding to something much more serious.
They show up and
yeah. But I think that's where, you know, these police associations or, you know, community groups or whatever need to really figure out, or, you know, or just people just need to realize, you know, people of color are not a threat to you.
Right.
I'm sorry that we're out here trying to exist too, but I'm not at the pool being like, I'm gonna turn this place into all black. And then y'all gonna have to wear kufis and start celebrating Kwanzaa. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like that. So come on, just let us live.
All right, guys. We're gonna take another quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. Miles, you were saying that you're hearing in your intel communities that you...
Yes, in my incel communities.
Is that what you were saying?
Oh, yeah,
sorry,
I said incel.
I thought you said intel.
Oh, no. I have no connection to the intel community.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you know, just based on, like, Twitter and reading different think pieces from diplomats or people inside and outside of intelligence, there have been a lot of people talking, like, I can't say names, but this is a diplomat who's serving right now, and, like, the quote is, like, crazy. It's like, dude, I don't know what the fuck's wrong with Trump, man. Like, either he's totally under Putin's thumb or he's a pussy, and you're like, whoa, like, this is how this guy is talking. And no, because right now a lot of these people are like looking at like, yo, this guy is really, really trying to fucking fuck the game up with his leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're seeing, like, you know, it's clear that the intelligence community has clearly had their eye on this thing for a while, and they have not been able to say anything because they're just there to provide the executive or the government at large with information. This is what we know, and do what you need to do because that's what our job is. But now it seems like they're trying to really wave their hands and be like, no, hold on. You guys need to start seeing what we know. For example, like Dan Coats, he had an interview with Andrea Mitchell yesterday at the Aspen Security Conference, and he was out here with his chest out, like not really giving a fuck about what the president would think. Throughout the interview, Andrea Mitchell was asking him like about the Helsinki thing and how he handled that. And he was just like, I would have done it differently, you know, just openly sort of questioning the president because he's the director of national intelligence. And then you can really tell, like, he did a fucking, like, literal double take when the news broke that the White House was going to invite Putin to D.C. in the fall. This is a clip from that moment.
We have some breaking news. The White House has announced on Twitter that Vladimir Putin is coming to the White House in the fall.
Say that again.
You, Vladimir Putin coming
did I
to
hear
the
you? Did I hear
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I heard about this, but it,
that's going to be special.
That's going to be special.
That's the fucking acting director of national intelligence right
He's
there.
He's just like this fucking guy.
Yeah, and they can't believe it. And I mean, luckily for him, he is a solid, like, he's a full-on Republican. You cannot question his, like, Republican credentials.
Sure,
and
they
he's
can.
Like Jim Mattis's.
Mueller, like the whole gang is. And
no, right. But I mean, like, in terms of criticism from the White House to be like, this guy's a hack or whatever. They're like, yeah. No, dude, this guy isn't. And like, but Jim Mattis rides for him. They're,
to that, Dave's point, that's exactly what we were saying about Mueller. When they were like, well, they're bringing in Mueller, everyone was like, and this guy's unimpeachable.
Yes, for sure.
He's like the biggest Republican. Nobody's ever going to question.
I guess more
in
terms
motives.
Of like, it'll be harder for him to fire Dan Coats because he also has a lot of support like within the cabinet already too. Like he's from Indiana. He's like Mike Pence really likes him. Anyway, but I know, but to that point, of course, anyone who begins speaking the truth to power will immediately be painted with the you're a hack or whatever.
Yeah.
Brush.
This whole thing, I mean, I've been trying to really comprehend the level of devotion. I think a lot of people, if you're a Spurs fan, people love Greg Popovich. Mm-hmm. And he has won you championships, meant something to you specifically in your life. And then when he starts talking out about the president, some people in San Antonio go, oh, fuck that guy.
Yeah,
I hate
right.
Greg Popovich.
Yeah.
I never really liked him. Never really cared. George Clooney, people like that, you'd think like, oh, people know them. They're just as ubiquitous. People turn, ah, I fucking hate those movies. This
yeah.
guy.
Right.
It's. Have you seen Icarus? Assuming you
yes. Mm-hmm.
And then did you see the Trump documentary series on Netflix? It's like four parts.
I started watching it. I didn't get through all the whole thing, though.
If you know his whole life,
yeah.
then it's probably not that interesting.
Right.
But I was pretty unfamiliar with like his life in the 80s in New York
yeah.
and Roy Cohn and suing the city and all this. I mean, it's bananas. It's such a great glimpse into like exactly how he's operating currently because
yeah.
you kind of see him be birthed into this thing that he is now. Originally, he has different teeth. He's obviously younger. But he's talking about Citizen Kane, and he's kind of eloquent, and he's weirdly, like, endearing, where he's painting this picture of a guy who's you can't trust people because of money and kind of how do you know what true love is. And he's like, I can relate to that.
Yeah.
And then you just see this twist where, like, when he first starts cheating on Ivana
uh-huh.
and the press knows about it, and they know he's cheating on her with Marla Maples, and he's just like, oh, it's crazy. And that's when he invents characters that he's calling in and being like,
right.
oh, it's me, John Miller. Yeah, it is. And they start recording it. Like, this can't be real.
Right.
And he just lies. I mean, they're on ski trips where legitimately he takes the family to, like, Aspen, and Marla has a hotel across the street.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy.
Right.
And people, he just keeps lying. Like, no. She's just a friend. I don't know why she's here. She's after me. They're married. The biggest one is the Taj Mahal. Like, it's
right. yeah.
all the analysts are like, hey, dude, this is nothing personal, but we've run the numbers a bunch of times. This can't sustain itself. Oh, it's crazy. It's fake news. You're idiots. You're a bunch of – and they're
right.
like, whoa, I wasn't
– right.
And then right up until the end, until it went bankrupt, he just – I think it's going great. We're making tons of money.
Yeah.
So those two things, Icarus and that, to me are like – everyone should see that just to get a good sense of, oh, that's what we're dealing
yeah.
with.
Yeah, this is a group who knows how to work this way. Here's a person who only knows how to operate in this sense.
Right.
Put it together.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just think that people are Trump supporters first and Americans second at this
oh, yeah.
point. I
yeah.
think,
like, well,
yeah. yeah, I mean, another example of what you were talking about with the Popovich thing is when De Niro said "fuck Trump" at the Tonys.
Right.
There are all these great videos of like dudes from New York who are like, "Bobby, I fucking loved you, man. Like, Goodfellas,
hey.
Greatest film of all time. I model my life after you." Go fuck yourself.
What
I'm like
the fuck,
tearing
bro?
Up their picture.
Yeah.
This is
I've
what
had
we
this,
pot ways.
Yeah. I've had this Goodfellas poster since I was in fucking community college, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm fucking torching it.
Yeah.
And then also to just sort of go along with the intelligence community kind of doing their own thing. After when he denied that, when he said full throat, he's like, oh, I believe Putin over the intelligence community. They then leaked information essentially to the New York Times saying this motherfucker knew it was Putin since like before he even came into office. We had top secret briefings with him. We showed him fucking emails, texts, showing that these orders came from the fucking top.
Yeah.
And he can't act like he didn't know. We put the shit in front of his face and said, this is what the fuck is going on. And a lot of people were like, whoa, that's new. Like, yeah. For you to suddenly be like, oh, he knew. Like, right. And clearly coming from the intelligence community, like, yeah. Yo, like, dead that.
I know.
And a lot
and
of people.
And they burned a source. They, like, that information is based on a source close to Putin.
Putin, right.
So the fucking intelligence community had a source close to Putin and were willing to, like, burn that
right.
source.
And a lot of people were saying, well, like, oh, my God, you just put that source in jeopardy.
I mean, that source is probably dead. But,
well, that's
like,
the yeah. thing. There, yeah. I think 9 people died mysteriously since the Steele dossier came out that had connected to the Russian government. A lot of quote-unquote heart attacks.
Heart attacks, falling
happening.
Out of buildings accidentally.
Yeah, and that's what they're saying. Like, I think the reason that the intel community even leaked it was they probably suspect, because we already know Michael Flynn and Jared Kushner were trying to talk to the Russians the whole time, that that source was probably burned a long time ago, which is why they're like, fuck it. Like, it's mm-hmm. not like we're putting this person in jeopardy again. But it just shows you there's clearly a group of people who, like, you can maybe call actual patriots who are looking at the information before them, that their expertise is intelligence and counterintelligence, and being like, yo, how long till you guys, like, do something about this?
But it didn't – there was a – I think – I want to say South Dakota Republican congressman that goes – I think he was playing him. He was showing the upper hand. He was going out there saying, I know, and you know that I know, but if you want to keep playing this game – go ahead, but I'm right. going to hold you to it. And then the press, like, in this meeting goes, is that what you think? And he goes, that's the only logical conclusion I can come to. Like, so they're just doing these mental gymnastics.
Right.
Like, Trump's a genius, and he's working people.
Right. That is a given.
Yeah.
Trump
right,
is
because
definitely a genius.
It's yeah, this whole thing of being confronted with truth, and the second that that doesn't jibe well with your, like, skewed worldview, then you have to find the next available life raft
yeah.
off of that thing, because this one's sinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just don't know. It seems like the Helsinki thing was clearly a red line for
yeah.
Like a lot of shit's changing.
I think we all do it in the smallest ways. You know, mm-hmm. your team loses a pivotal game mid-season. Say you're watching football and you're like, they run the table from here. They,
right.
They do it with their third string quarterback. It's been done before.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And people are like, you're crazy. Just move on. Just watch something else. No. And they lose the next game. They're mathematically eliminated. Nah, but I think you just keep
The refs were cheating.
Yeah.
I get all the Breitbart emails, like the daily like recap of what's going on. And they had a recap that Rush Limbaugh is now saying that this is how Democrats are going to do away with elections. So by using the Russia story cast doubt on the outcome of elections, the Democrats are going to take over and never let Republicans win an election again. So like that's the dread, like
right.
it's
that's how they're gonna explain
how
the blue
far
wave.
How far they can go in a different direction in interpreting something that seems fairly straightforward to us. What we want to talk about is important stuff, like that Michael Jackson was chemically castrated, and I called it 7 years ago.
Wait, you called it 7 years ago?
No. So we did on Cracked.
I've never heard somebody celebrate someone's chemical castration like that.
You gotta watch Game of Thrones more.
Oh yeah, well. Did somebody get castrated in there?
So
yeah.
Oh yeah, a little.
What show?
A little tuna.
Game of Thrones. That show's lousy with castration.
Lousy with castration. It's not done chemically, I don't think.
Nah,
so,
they lacked the technology.
This is a horrifying conspiracy theory that we wrote about in an article by Christy Harrison and Adam Todd Brown on Cracked back in 2011. But it like made too much sense. I don't know. I felt like it was probably true at the time, and now we're getting confirmation from his doctor. The idea is basically that when Michael Jackson, as a 12-year-old, started showing signs of puberty, he started getting acne and his voice started changing. You know, we didn't know at the time who was kind of making this happen, but apparently his dad encouraged him to take this thing called ciproterone that is basically an anti-male hormone. It knocks the man right out of you, as it was written in the article.
No, that's from the article.
It basically blocks puberty, so
yeah,
you just never go
right
through puberty. And it makes sense given that, you know, it affects your bone growth, and that looking at what Michael Jackson ended up looking like, and also just the fact that, like, this isn't invented by this conspiracy theory. This is a thing that they did throughout history to men who sang soprano.
What?
Until 1870, this was a common practice. The people were called castrati, and they were just literally castrated in order to maintain their singing voices.
Damn.
Yeah.
Anyway, so but the theory was based off the article of Cracked is that the theory was he was being chemically castrated.
Yes.
Interesting. And was that based off of just like, how's this man's voice like this forever? Or there was like a moment that they saw.
I think there was a doctor who had put the theory forward based on appearance and based on all the problems he was having. Yeah. And Christie, I think, dug that up in a book about Michael Jackson. And it just seems like, I don't know, it made too much sense. And also, like, mentally, if you never go through puberty, like,
you want to hang out with a bunch of kids?
Right. It would stand to reason that, like, you would turn your house into an amusement park and, like, just still be interested in things.
Wait, and even on top of that, never got to experience a childhood.
Right.
As even when you were a child, even before puberty, you're like,
God, imagine that. Like, what a horrible prison to be a child forever but never experience childhood.
Right.
That sounds like the worst thing you could do to somebody.
And who was this the Michael Jackson's doctor?
So Michael Jackson's doctor.
Vladimir Putin.
Who is currently serving time for manslaughter because he was the guy who gave him the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
But he was in the position to give him the drugs because he was like his most trusted, you know, medical advocate.
Right.
And like, basically his entire job was being Michael Jackson's doctor, and he like traveled with him and, you know, gave him the drugs that ended up killing him. He said that, you know, among the people I think were asking him about it, it's coming out now, I think, because Joe Jackson passed away.
Right.
The reference, he was like, yeah, the abuse that Michael underwent when he was a kid is just terrible. And he was like, I mean, and the chemical castration thing is just
incredible.
Oh, so
Michael confided in him or something.
It seems like that's what he's saying. And also just as his doctor, I guess you would know that sort of thing.
Right.
I know my doctor asks me that every time I go in.
Right. Have you been chemically castrated?
Check. No. Not yet. There's a not yet box.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.